Accomplishment Coaching is proud to present the following fine programming. Accomplishment Coaching, where coaches lead and leaders coach. AccomplishmentCoaching.com.
Welcome to Heart Empowered Women Radio with your host, Clarice Connolly.
Hello and welcome to another podcast with yours truly. I am so excited for this topic. I feel like, as always, every podcast, I always want to create awareness around something I firmly believe more of us could be talking about, expressing, moving through, whatever it is. But it's really, the intention is to kind of create some sort of awareness, to take a gem with you, to walk away with a new perspective, a new possibility, or just, you know, be a little more educated about something you're not really sure what it is. And today I'm really excited to talk about grief. I think it's a word that most of us don't have in our vocabulary, or maybe we feel and don't necessarily understand. And our guest today is Sarah Shaul, and she is brilliant. She is a lover of community and humanity. As an essayist, coach, and podcast host herself, she reflects on the resilience, wisdom, brilliance of those who experience loss. Sarah created Grief, Gratitude, and Greatness to explore the vast ways that our culture experiences, manages, and supports grief and those grieving. Sarah coaches individuals struggling with and stuck in grief so they can harness their greatness and live purposely. Welcome to Heart Empowered Women podcast, Sarah.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm thrilled and honored to have you on. So I really just want to jump in. Like, grief, what is it? Like, how do you define it? How do people know, like, oh yeah, this is grief? Like, what would you say if someone asked?
Well, that's a big one, because I think there are so many different kinds of grief. And I think where a person's mind goes initially is grief is the feeling that someone gets when they're in mourning, when someone close to them has passed. And that mourning can continue for a period. And I think that's how we as a culture think about grief. But there is all kinds of grief. And it's that feeling that something has gotten away from you, the loss of control. And there's grief over death. There's grief over divorce. There's grief over becoming a parent and losing the life that someone had before, becoming an empty nester. Ever since I started this project, I get people contacting me about all kinds of different grief, and it's all really valid. And each individual who's going through it gets to define what that is for them.
I love that. Thank you. It's like, I hear that, I'm like, almost like it's like a deep sadness of like loss, you know, not that I necessarily have a definition, but I'm like, oh yeah, like I've grieved like the loss of a relationship, or I've like grieving this. Yeah. Like loss is the word that stands up for me, but I love that, you know, and my intention is, you know, while you're listening, maybe you're not grieving someone who's passed, maybe you're not grieving, you know, in that capacity, but how can you listen for yourself in your ears and sit and listen to like what may you be grieving and you don't even know?
Yeah. You know, actually there are a lot of things that coalesced around creating this project. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'll tell people, one of the incidents that happened, I used to work in the world of fashion and retail. And I was on a photo shoot with this photographer that I had known for a really long time. Always thought she was a super cool lady. Always wanted to hang out with her. But, you know, life is busy. And, you know, so see her once a year for this annual shoot. And I just, we had a moment in between locations where we're walking, literally 30 seconds. And I said, how have you been? And she said, you know, Sarah, I've been grieving for a really long time. And ever since the election, everyone's grieving. So I finally feel like I fit in. And then back to work. And I was like, wait, you can't leave me hanging like that. But even she pointed out, as we're talking about different kinds of grief, even she pointed out people are grieving over an election, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are so many different forms. And it's pretty pervasive, although we don't really talk about it. And so that's a big part of what I'm trying to do is take away the stigma from having those conversations about it.
I love that. And that's the exact thing that drew me to you, right? Like if we could be out there expressing ourselves fully and like how that is the contributing factor to breaking the stigmas that it's not okay to have emotions or feel grief or be grieving or, you know, the stigma around these kind of emotions. And so my question is like, if you could describe the physical like experience that you experience when grieving, like, what does that feel like? Does it have a color? Does it, where does it exist in your body?
That's a really good question. And actually, I think it's manifested differently for every individual. For some individuals, it's manifested in the gut and they have issues with their digestive system. For others, it's manifested in the head and they have terrible headaches or a lot of people who grieve have a really difficult time sleeping. And I actually was just a couple days ago, I got to attend a really amazing yoga session and it was specifically for people in grief. And it was a restorative yoga class. And one of the things that interested me, and then I should say, and afterwards we all gathered and actually ate together on our yoga mats in circles and talked about what was going on. And it was pretty powerful. And one of the things that drew me to it was this idea or this assertion from the yoga instructor, who was lovely, that we actually hold grief within our bodies. Like it actually sticks in. And again, it's manifested differently for everyone. Yeah. I mean, if you've ever heard anyone talk about a certain like kink or pain, and actually one of the yoga instructor talked about losing her father and her having a pain related to a certain experience she had with her dad in her back. And then sometimes when she thinks about him, she gets that twinge in her back.
Oh, wow. That's wild. And I love that you keep emphasizing that. And it's like, well, you know, while you're listening, like I just really always like to point out, like it's different for everyone. I love just like hearing everyone's experience, right? The guests that I have on. So then it's like, maybe you could better identify or like, oh, I wonder if this is what this is. I know Louise Hayes has that one book that's like, if you're experiencing pains in certain areas, you kind of like look it up and then it tells you know, oh, the best. It's so cool. It's a little, you know, witchy, but it's like a fun way to like shift your perspective on how you want to look at things. Awesome. So I'm curious, you've created the Grief, Gratitude, and Greatness podcast. Why did you create it? What was your intention? Share with us a little bit more about that.
Well, it was completely out of my wheelhouse. Like, I have no experience in radio or in this realm at all. And I'm super fortunate to have gotten to partner with an old friend and coworker who this is in his wheelhouse. And so when I brought this idea to him, he was able to make it happen. But going back to why I did it, so I'd share the story of the woman on the photo shoot. And afterwards, I said, you know, you can't leave me hanging like that. We have to go out and we have to talk about this. And so we did. We had dinner together and the most amazing conversation. And I thought, I was just kicking myself that I hadn't recorded it. I thought, people need to hear this. People need to hear about this. And why don't we talk about this? And so that kind of stuck in my brain. I had another incident where, I'll go back even further back than this. I had lost my mom pretty tragically when I was just 10 years old. And I had actually prior to that had other trauma in my world. And really my family did their best, even after my mom's passing, of just surrounding me with so much love and support to try and give me a normal childhood. Mm-hmm. And I always, when you're a child, you don't know any differently. So I always thought I did have a quote unquote normal childhood. But in the back of my mind, I think I knew that I was different. Mm-hmm. And because of some of my experiences. And anyway, fast forward, I actually have had a really amazing life. I've been really ambitious. I've opened several businesses. I got married to the love of my life. I have two amazing children. Bought my house. I mean, did all kinds of great things, traveled a whole bunch. And then my marriage started to break down. And so we separated and I went into some really serious grief. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. How could I feel this bad? And then it put together the grief I was experiencing over my split with the death of my mom. And I thought, that's crazy. That's really crazy that it's combining those into the same thing. And that was kind of confusing to me because I felt like, hey, I've lived a whole life really feeling like I was really well adjusted over that loss. And so that was interesting. So I took to writing, which was an old love of mine. And I started writing a bunch and publishing some of my work. And then I really, around the time that I had that conversation with the photographer, who is also, she's actually the first episode of
Grief. Oh, fun.
Yeah. Of the Grief, Gratitude, and Greatness podcast. And she, after having that, I thought, I need to have more of these conversations. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I realized everyone has a lid on their own grief story. And so many of these grief stories are just beautiful and compelling and helpful for those who are keeping a lid on theirs. I also had lost an employee of mine, and she, I used to own some retail stores that did a combination of vintage and new streetwear. Mm-hmm. And I had this girl, she used to shop in my shop when she was just like 13, 14 years old. And she'd come in after she got out of high school and shop on her way home. And when she was old enough, I gave her a job. And she was just the loveliest, loveliest person. And she fell ill a few years ago and she did succumb to cancer. And that was a really tough loss for me, even though I hadn't really stayed in touch with her the last few years. Just having watched a human being grow up, and that was hard. And so, and when I went to her service, I saw her mother, who I knew pretty well because her mom used to come pick her up from work or even just hang out in the shop while her daughter was there. I talked to her parents a bunch. And so when I saw her mom at the service, like everything that popped into my head, I would not allow myself to say. So like, it's so good to see you. No, it's not good to see you under these circumstances. How are you? I'm not going to ask her that. She's feels like crap. You can't, you know, so I just looked her in the eye and I just hugged her, and that's all I was able to do. I couldn't say a word. And I was able, actually, we all had an opportunity to speak, and I was quite pleased with what I shared about, her name was Sarah as well, what I shared about Sarah at her service. And but when it came to that personal looking her mom in the eye, I just didn't know what to say. And that's when I thought, we suck, as we have no culture around mm-hmm. grief. We have no language for it. The only language we have is I'm sorry, thoughts and prayers. And frankly, I'm not satisfied with that. So, mm-hmm. so those were just some of the things. I could tell you other, I mean, I actually have had magical encounters as well, that really, came together and informed me that I had to do this.
I love that too, right? Like, again, if you're listening, like, this isn't like you need to be an advocate for grief, or, you know, if you want to make a difference in humanity, this isn't like build the pyramids. Like, it's like, it's as easy as just talking about the taboo thing, or talking about mm-hmm. the thing that you're feeling, you know, with someone you trust. Like, it's as easy as just like, hey, I'm feeling a lot of feelings. Could you listen to me for a little bit and just let me like get them out? You know, like asking permission, being very like, just say it, you know, and obviously notice like where you're like, oh, hesitating because it's hard, or like, and be compassionate with yourself. I don't want it to seem like this is super easy. Just go out and do it. But like, meet yourself where you're at. And I want to challenge you, you know, how can you make even a little bit of difference by just like feeling called to share something and practicing sharing it, and notice how that gives other people permission to, you know, feel safe to share it with you too, right? I just like love that power that's available to us, even in the smallest ways. And that, you know, compounded over time or over people or, you know, within groups, like that's the kind of ripple that makes that difference. So thanks so much for sharing that. And I love too, that kind of really brought me to like, all of my grandparents have passed. And I remember like, I just kind of like, oh, I can't feel sad. I have to be there for my parents. They're grieving. Mm-hmm. Or like, I don't even think I used grieving. Honestly, it wasn't in my vocabulary. They were just like, oh, they're sad. Or like, my dad didn't even appear very sad. And I was just like, whoa, weird. You know, my mom was a mess. So I just, you know, had I ever grieved those, I think I just bottled them up like, oh, death happens. Let's move on. And, you know, as I've gotten older, it's like, my parents, anytime they express emotion, they run to separate rooms and it's like, nope, it's not happening. I'm fine. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the kind of modeling that you get. And, you know, this is the intention for my podcast, is like, maybe your parents didn't model it for you. Maybe your friends like don't talk about it to you. I was an avid journaler myself because I didn't feel safe going anywhere else. And I just wrote everything I felt down. You know, how can you break that? Like, how can you practice even with one close person? You know, gosh, reaching out to Sarah, you know, if you're grieving something heavy and you want to be coached about it, or you want to hop on a podcast and talk about it, right? There's so many resources. How can people find you? What's other places in which they can go if they feel called?
Well, so how can they find me in particular?
Sure. Yeah. And what you're up to, the grief
yeah. So, podcast. Right. So the podcast is available anywhere you listen to podcasts. And we do have a website as well. And that's another place to find me. And it seems like a lot of people seem to be connecting with me on Instagram.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And the busier I get with this project, I will say it has been, I seem to be writing in a micro level instead of writing the essays I'm used to. I seem to be, much of my writing seems to be conveyed in my Instagram feed. And that's okay because it isn't, and in a little way it isn't. It's okay because I think we as a culture are, our attention spans are shrinking. And so people seem to have time to read a smaller
short
chunk.
Blurbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that.
They're getting something out of that, and that's great. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many people have been direct messaging me. I've had women across, and mostly women, but I've actually had men too, contact me and tell me the most intimate things about like a spouse who committed suicide, or a sibling who committed suicide, or a spouse who passed unexpectedly, a mother and father whose young child passed away. I feel so honored that people feel comfortable reaching out to me. And I also feel a great sense of responsibility, like to keep these, and as a mother myself, just to, I'm kind of making this, you can't see me right now, but I'm kind of like lifting my arms as though they are big giant wings. I just feel like I need to protect these people at the same time. And I'm really committed to helping people along, on their own, I will say investigations. I don't know that journey is always the right term. I know it's used a lot, but their own investigations of their grief. And so, yes, I can be reached, through the Grief, Gratitude, and Greatness, Instagram. And I do have my own as well. And my own website is being worked on now as I'm getting more up to speed, my coaching website. And additionally, I partnered with a really lovely woman. She's a health coach, and we wanted to go further than what the podcast can deliver. So we've put together a series of retreats, and they are called Pause, Breathe, Restore. And I think the name kind of says it all. Taking pause, our lives are so insanely busy, and it's really hard to, as we're out there hustling and parenting and just getting through, it's really hard to take that chunk of time for ourselves, even if it is a couple days. And breathing is essential. I cannot tell you how important taking a deep breath is. And then just doing something to restore yourself. So that's how we came up with this. And we are doing and each of these retreats comes around a theme, and the theme for this one that's coming up in March is grief. So we're inviting people who are grieving to come together in a safe community to explore their grief. And I should say this too. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. But the thing about, another thing about grief is it's really isolating. And
true.
And I'll tell you why. And there's something you shared earlier, and I'll get to that in a second. But that's why I know it is essential to heal in community. I mean, that's how other cultures and how historically people have grieved is being surrounded by community and being lifted and cared for by others. And so some of the reasons why grief is so isolating, if I could go into that for a minute, is that, well, there are many, many reasons, but for one, it's really challenging to engage when you're grieving, to engage with others. I've heard from many people that friendships have been completely lost because people will drop off For remember when I said earlier, I saw that mom and I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't know how. So people will disappear because they are afraid of saying the wrong thing. They don't know how. Mm-hmm. They don't know. And that's a big reason for the podcast, too. It's not just for people who are grieving, but it's for people who care about others, who have loved ones, have dear friends who are grieving. How can you stand up? How can you hold space? How can you help them? I mean, I just answered a Facebook request from an individual just 2 days ago about just that very question. I have a very dear friend who lost a child to suicide. How do I be there for them? So that's one part. People disappear because they don't know how to be there. Mm-hmm. But also people who are grieving, it's really, really, really hard to be out in the world because you might just start bawling for, you know, you just never know what can trigger the grief. And it might manifest as bawling or crying, but it could manifest in a bazillion different ways. Okay. And so it's really hard to be out in the world. It's just amazing how challenging and difficult that can be. And so people tend to isolate themselves. And I've also heard, I've heard from, and you can hear these in the podcast episodes told much more eloquently and heartfelt from the guests that I've had on the podcast. But people say like, yes, thank you. I so appreciate the invitations. Mm-hmm. I appreciate people inviting me and not leaving me off those invitations. But it's hard to show up. It's hard to show up when like I'm the only person showing up without a spouse, or it's hard to show up to the, you know, my child's, you know, this sporting event is so important and I wanted to come to the team, you know, the team end of season party, but how do I show up without my kid there? You know, things like that. Make it really hard, but they still want to be in community, but sometimes it's hard to know how to be. And so it's really isolating and it's that duality of wanting to be a part of a community, but not knowing how, and it not always being easy to be part of the community. Did I express that well?
Yeah, you've done an incredible job. Thank you so much for bringing so much insight into, like, I like love the way that you can make it kind of this like neutral conversation. So I think that that's enormous. And we're going to take a little break and just really just continue to dive into what that looks like and more. So tune into the break. After the break, we'll talk about grief a little bit longer.
Are you seeking to change your career to something that is both fulfilling and challenging? Do you want to help people reach their full potential and strive to achieve their dreams? Would you like to inspire those around you and help create a better world? If you're serious about a career change or just want to explore the craft of personal coaching, contact Accomplishment Coaching. With locations across the country in Washington, D.C., Seattle, Chicago, New York City, and San Diego, Accomplishment Coaching is the leading institution in personal coaching. Our staff carefully monitors the entire program live during the training process and have met the strict standards of ICF International to achieve accreditation. Through a focus on quality instruction rather than endless modules of training, Accomplishment Coaching will guide you from your very first step all the way to becoming one of the finest coaches in the world. Visit AccomplishmentCoaching.com to learn more. Accomplishment Coaching, where coaches lead and leaders coach.
Christopher McAuliffe is your source for the latest in the world of personal coaching. Whether it be speaking with such luminaries as Deepak Chopra or getting the newest techniques and innovation, The Coaching Show is always on the cutting edge of what's happening now.
Tired of presentations with no impact, no inspiration, and no traction? Do dull speakers have you and your team disengaged and distracted by smartphones? Christopher McAuliffe brings energy, insights, and 2 decades of experience delivered with punch, humor, and heart. Your team will leave energized, uplifted, and with a sense of purpose. Visit ChristopherMcAuliffe.com to bring some heat to your next speaking engagement. McAuliffe, ChristopherMcAuliffe.com.
Gotham Books presents Marriage Rules by Harriet Lerner. the book Martha Beck calls required reading for anyone hoping to interact successfully with any other human, not just for those in romantic relationships. Get your copy wherever books and ebooks are sold, and visit harrietlerner.com to learn how to change your marriage today.
Welcome to Heart Empowered Women Radio with your host, Clarice Connolly.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode. My name is Clarice Connolly, and I am your hostess. And we are continuing our conversation with Sarah Shaul around grief. And we're talking about her project that she's created, which is the Grief, Gratitude, and Greatness podcast. You can find that at Grief, Gratitude, and, so spell it, and greatness.com. She's also on Instagram at Grief, Gratitude, Great. And you can find her on Facebook, Grief, Gratitude, and, spell out A-N-D, Greatness. She also has a website. So she has a Pause, Breathe, and Restore retreat that she was sharing a little bit about us. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, you can find it online as well. It's pausebreatherestore.com. Also able to find on Instagram, Pause, Breathe, Restore, and Facebook, Pause, Breathe, and Restore. Welcome back to the mic. Thanks so much for all that you've shared already. I'm really excited. We are talking about grief, how it manifests, what it kind of looks like, how it's very different from each individual. And, you know, again, maybe you're not grieving and you're listening. Maybe you're looking for resources and support to help someone that you love who's grieving. How can you, like, I always think of this example, right? Like I say a lot on my podcast, I spent 2 years living in a women's like soul recovery program. And in that, I really got a chance to kind of see, no matter what walk of the earth we're from, you know, whether we were brought up in a perfect life or brought up with family dysfunction, you know, there's this notion that we are all just trying to learn how to like unlearn the human conditioning and, you know, learn like what is true to us or how do we want to express ourselves and what do emotions look like for us. And, you know, it's interesting because I have this experience where, you know, I always see people just like, oh, I'm just so anxious. And there's this kind of like, oh, I'm just anxious, right? And we just label everything anxiety. And in my time, just really being introspective and really learning how to feel safe with and expressing my emotions, I just got to like be really present to the fact that sometimes it's not always anxiety. Like I just blanketed the term. And what was really happening is I was sad. I was overly sad and just ready to explode. Or I was sitting or stuffing down all of this like pent up anger about how things were going or how I felt about myself. And it was really fun to be able to start to pick apart like, oh, that's not just anxiety. That's actually a combination of anger and sadness. And I just started to get very curious. And so for me, grieving was always one of those things that it took me pretty long to kind of notice like, oh, I think I'm grieving. And I honestly wasn't until my mom, you know, started the process of getting diagnosed with dementia that I felt so blindsided. Like I felt like, oh, she's 62. I thought I had more time with her. I, you know, and you start to realize like dementia is like she may eventually start to forget who her loved ones are and her close ones are. And I really just started to grieve like, man, I've spent my whole life hating my mom for not being the woman I wanted her to be or the mom I thought she should have been. And now all of a sudden I have to hurry up and put that aside, forgive myself, accept her, let go of all that, learn who she actually is outside of my beliefs before she's like all of a sudden no longer that. Yeah. And I just was so just... I just grieved that. I grieved the like I lost her already. I lost so much time. I lost so much opportunity. And suddenly there's a ticking clock, right? You never know how long this is going to take, but it really got me present to like, whoa, this is how grief feels in my body. And this is not just for when people die. It's, right. you know, the loss of a situation, I don't know, a relationship or a thing that once was that is now, you know, threatened.
Well, you know, it's really interesting to me. I feel for what you're going through with your mom. You know, the clock is always ticking. Okay. And it takes, sometimes these things happen when we recognize that kind of awaken us to the fact that it's ticking. And that's because it brings us into the present, you know? And oftentimes we just feel that everything's just going to keep on rolling, especially things that are working out. And sometimes when they're not working out, we don't feel that that pressure to address things, you know, like fixing important relationships or paying attention or giving energy and time to those important relationships. And yeah, we can often grieve those things. And I've been reading a really great book. I could read this book 10 times over and get something new every time. It's called The Wild Edge of Sorrow. And I love some of the things that he shares. And one of the things that I was just reading about was how sometimes we can attach shame to our grief. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our healing, and there are other emotions and feelings that we can attach to our grief or become combined with our grief. And, you know, one of the things that is so helpful is, of course, mindfulness and caring for oneself. Because if you're in a good place, we generally don't deserve the shame that we assign to ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so if we can get past that, then it's so much easier to, I mean, it's never easy, but it's mm-hmm. so much, it better facilitates our ability to do the very things that are important, like spend more time with your mom or work on healing that relationship. And again, or healing that perspective that you have about the relationship you wished you'd had, you know? Mm-hmm. And so believe me, I'm not prescribing anything there, but the healing can't begin until we start addressing some things within ourselves, of course.
I think that that's huge. Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more, right? Like, again, you know, if people are listening, it's like, you know, great job, like reaching out for resources and finding podcasts and feeling called and like listening, right? And that's the start. And, you know, I love that you're, you know, really just like picking up book after book to really learn and experience or, you know, discover grief. And it's like how that can be a good resource. And obviously, you know, retreats, finding community where you can grieve inside of. I'm such a huge fan of support groups and allowing yourself permission to feel seen and heard. And, you know, the biggest, you kind of touch on it, is just getting it like out of your body, whether it's in written form, whether it's crying. Sometimes I love like screaming in my car. I like deep sighs are also so liberating, you know, like a punching bag or spontaneous crying, right? Like it's amazing.
Well, I would say actually getting in your body is mm-hmm. actually really helpful. I mean, by and large, the one thing that I've consistently heard from everybody, and it's, again, everyone does it differently, is engaging your physical body. So exercise is huge. Like And it does whatever it is that, you know, whether it's swimming or running or dancing or yoga, almost everyone I've spoken with on the path to healing, I spoke with one woman, she lost her husband at a very, she was married quite young. She lost her husband at a really young age in a tragic snowboarding accident. Guess where she is every time there's a dump? She's up there snowboarding. I mean, we talk about the irony of, you know, but she says, I'm an adrenaline junkie. And she's up there either snowboarding or skateboarding, even though that was like the worst day of her life. And so, but exercise is so key, and being physical, it really relieves the stress in the brain. And then the other thing that's really, really helpful for people is to be in nature. Nature, so all the lessons of our world are taught in the natural world. I mean, all you have to do, it's spring right now. Well, no, it's not really spring yet. I'm being very optimistic.
it feels really like spring.
Well, yes, it's actually sunny in the Pacific Northwest. All the people in the Midwest right now are hating me for saying that, because I guess it's just record cold temperatures there. But it's around the corner. But actually, it's winter right now, and so much is nature is talking to us about decay and death. It's showing it to us. And you know what? It's actually really beautiful at the same time. And not to get too woo-woo with you, but
I know.
because but it's true. And you open, if you open your eyes and you get out in nature, it's and just the fresh air and the body movement of a hike or any simple kind of walk outdoors is really, really immensely helpful. I think I had another thought about the natural world, but it's
I know. I just like keep writing all the thoughts, and then they just like jump out of my mind. But you know, and it's not it can be considered woo-woo, fine, but it's, you know, if you just look at the way, like, permaculture, you know, you can apply that to your life as well. Like, if you look at, you know, bears that hibernate, right? Like, winter is like a coming internal time. Like, yeah. It is like, really, you know, it's, and bears and animals and all these things do it. It's not just like, you know, go out and hug a tree, right? There's evidence, you know, to dispel all of that. And also, you know, if you believe, like, here's this, you know, soft and subtle reminder that nature is such a free, wonderful, convenient medicine, you know. And I find when I'm in my darkest, you know, darkness, that I forget that. And it's really easy. Like, hey, it does feel nice to cuddle in bed all day or sleep for 14 hours. But like practice the uncomfortable thing and maybe get yourself out there anyways and notice the mood shift, right? And then you'll be thankful at the end of it. How do you feel people who are helping their loved ones who are grieving, like, how can they do it? What do you suggest? Like, I know you're not a therapist, and I really like to like empathize that, you know, it's just given your reading and your experience and your passion for doing this work. Like, what can we, you know, what can you recommend to individuals who are listening?
Well, there's so much. So it's like, where do you begin? Number one, listen to the cues of the person who's going through it. And don't give up on them. So, for example, let's say you have a friend who's going through something. It's so important to check in with them, but it's also so important not to prescribe things for them. And please don't ever, ever, ever say things like, well, they've moved on to a better place, or they're out of their pain now, or, you know, you just need a little time. All that is BS. Please don't ever say that. Kind of stuff. And this is where it gets really tricky, because this is where people say, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I don't know what to do. But all you need to do is listen.
Oh, that I, yeah. Okay. Like, I just gonna like jump in there. I'm the type of person that's like, you're hurting. I care so much. I want to offer you all the fixes, right? Like if I'm not conscious or like intentional, I'd be like, oh, but you're like so stressed out. Let me, what about chamomile tea? Right. Like, so I think subconsciously when I'm not being intentional, that is my, like, I want to make it better for you. Here's my, like, here's how I want to help. Right. And exactly what you're saying. We think that we know all the ways, like, here, this'll fix that. This'll fix this. Here, in my experience, this will actually, the remedy or like the most potent thing is to listen. Right.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just like, oh, yeah. Maybe mentally jot down that you want to offer chamomile tea and mentally jot down that you're thinking about they should do more yoga, because like every time you offer a suggestion like that, it just shuts them down. And then they don't like want to continue talking, and then it doesn't feel safe. And then you feel like, what, I was just trying to help, right? Like it's, the power is just listening. Like,
absolutely.
Witness the ways you want to interject. Maybe ask at the absolute end, like, hey, would you like feedback or things I heard or thought or said. Like I couldn't emphasize that more, only because I've experienced it time and time and time again. It's just a practice to take on, to just listen.
Absolutely. Most important thing. And just physically be there. I mean, even if you want to show up with a tub of ice cream and two spoons and sit and watch some dumb TV, or good TV, whatever. Just sit with them. You don't have to say anything. Or you can ask about the most mundane things like, hey, you want to go grocery shopping together? I can't tell you. So I can't tell you what a trigger the friggin' grocery store is for people. Because that's where oftentimes you bump into a lot of people. And that can be really uncomfortable, for one. Food has a lot of significance for people, whether it's relational, experiential. I have a interesting thing I will share in a minute, but you know, ask them if they wanna. Hey, you wanna go to the grocery store together? And if you feel like you need to ditch, you know, want to go sit in the car, I'll finish grocery shopping for us. You know, knowing that they have somebody there that understands and A, will not judge them. It is huge. And can I say this too? This has come up in so many of the conversations, people sharing that they feel like they, the people who are grieving, feel like they have to hold space for the other people in their lives because they don't want to bum them out by bringing stuff up, and they don't, you know, so the backwards is happening where people who are feeling bad are protecting the people who are supposedly there to support them. It's so counterintuitive, but it's a reality. Yes, just be there physically and don't give up. So if you've asked somebody a million times, let's go to this thing, let's do this thing, let's go to, don't give up on them, because that often happens too. Because one, when they're ready to pull, to go, and the invitations have ended because people have given up on asking them, then they don't have that support when they are ready to.
Yeah. And I love that too, because it's like, I've had so many friends and so many experiences where people just push you away because their judgment or their shame is like, they're being too much or too unstable or too out of control or like too emotional. Right. And they just like, and they just keep like pushing you away. Right. It's like, don't take it personal. Right. Like that's their stuff.
Yes.
And like,
don't take it personal.
Release that, like do what you need to do, yell at a wall or scream into a pillow. Like
this isn't, it's not about you. You know, for the people who are supposedly holding space and it's not about you. Don't take it personally. That's a really key piece. And to that end, please don't compare your experience with theirs. You know, like,
I'm so guilty.
Like, you know, hey, you know, when my mom passed, or, you know, this is, you know, this really helped me. It's just because it helped you, it might not help them. And it's not helpful to compare. You know, I know when my grandparent, you know, was going through this, you know, if they're not asking you, don't offer it.
So huge. And two, like my, you know, maybe this is like expert level, or maybe you're writing these down and putting it in your pocket, and then next conversation you have with a friend, or, you know, whatever it is, like the thing that is so powerful is asking them what they need,
yeah,
right? Like sometimes they don't know because they're so entrenched in all of these emotions, they can't find what weighs up. You know, it's like asking them what they need gets them back into their body, gets them kind of checking in and curious of like, oh, like, what do I need? Right. Like sometimes it gets a hug. Sometimes it's just sitting there and asking you to like, listen, or like space, or whatever it is. Right. Like, and you notice like when you want to offer something, be like, just ask, like, what do you need in this moment? Or what do you, right? Like, what do you need is the most like beautiful question.
Yeah.
So it just opens up so much possibility, because if you ask what they need and they say a chamomile tea, then like, cool, the very thing you wanted to offer was something they already know that they wanted, right? Like, then you get to do it, right? But,
and I think you can, I think it's really, I think, excuse me, but I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I was done.
I think it's really, you know, if you have had experience, I think it's fair to lay that, you know, say, I remember things that happened when such and such happened to me. Please, if you want to hear about it, let me know. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's a fair way of saying I've got experience in this situation, and if you'd like to talk about it,
yeah.
One thing that's come up a lot in some of these conversations I've had are people saying that they feel in communion with other individuals who have experienced what they've experienced. I think I had one guest actually. Oh, it was, I think it's the current episode, which actually we're launching a new one today, but the one that's been running the last 2 weeks, she says like other people who have lost someone to death, I just love them no matter who they are. I just love them. And I think what she goes into after that is, because they understand mm-hmm. my pain and I understand what they're going through. And that's, mm-hmm. that's why community, like that yoga session I was at, mm-hmm. we all had this compassion for one another that just is understood, and it, mm-hmm. and really no one needed to say anything. We all understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love this, right? Like this is not just a practice of grief or an expression, it's a practice of communication and connection. And I want to emphasize practice, right? Like there's been so many times I've let my emotions jump in and my need or desire to nurture and fix run the show. And like, I want to give you permission that it's okay to be human and have those experiences and trust that you can clean them up. Like you can go back and be like, hey, I'm so sorry. I just care so much. I was just trying to normalize the experience for you, or just trying to like show you that I have had the same experience and I get it and I see you, right? Like you can always clean things up. And if not, like that's okay, right? Like you learn from it, or you lose a friendship and you move on, or, you know, the relationship ends. And, you know, there's a gift in that too. It might take a while to find, you know, but this is all so powerful and so beautiful. And, you know, if you're grieving, like I, you know, offer the opportunity to, again, reach out, find community, whatever that looks like for you, practice reaching out to your loved ones, maybe try bringing up this podcast, or gifting them this podcast, or gifting them, you know, the Grief, Gratitude, and Greatness podcast. And, you know, practice
small. Practice with people you're close to that won't leave, and then practice with people that may be harder. And there's no right way to do any of this. Just try anything, right? Like, yeah, there's no right or wrong.
And I would say right now, for those who aren't in it right now, unfortunately, we're all going to be in it at some point. And I would say be as present as you can. The greatest gift you can give yourself right now is be as present as you can in the relationships you do have, and you do cherish, because you will thank yourself later for it when you are in that space.
Mm, yeah, and it's all just practice. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. That's just beautiful. Thank you so much. It's been such a, you know, I was like, man, I wonder how heavy we're going to make this podcast. Like, grief is a heavy subject, right? Or, you know, whatever your judgments are about it, it's been such a delight. And thanks for bringing your heart. Thanks for the work that you're doing. I really am so grateful that you're standing for this and breaking the stigma. And if you're interested, again, the retreat is Pause, Breathe, and Restore. It's located on the website, Pause, Breathe, Restore.
And yes, pausebreatherestore.com.
I know, I was like, there's no and, but perfect. And it's located in the Pacific Northwest, yeah?
Yeah, it's at the Oregon coast.
Awesome, awesome.
And I want to say, thank you. You're doing some really great work. I've gotten to check out some of your podcasts, and I really love what you're bringing in to the conversation.
Absolutely. You can find more of that at accomplishmentmedia.com/heartempoweredwomen. And you can find me on the web. I am a accountability coach, and I support individuals working and suffering and, you know, just trying to break through their stigma around their diagnosis, around herpes, and what all of that brings. And you can find me at empoweringwomen.coach. So thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. You're amazing. It's been such a great time. And, you know, again, just listen with compassion and pause and just really challenge yourself to take this tiny next step to grow in this capacity and just see what comes about. Thank you again. And tune in next time.
Thank you.